Good morning. You're on WLOL. My guest can hear you.
Good morning. You answered one of my questions. Where's Hal Murray? I remember him very distinctly in the early days of KDWB.
Hal Murray was one of the wild men on the air, and he was as wild off the air as he was on the air.
Hey, we got a treat for you, too. After the news at 1, Sam brought air checks, and we've got Hal Murray on there. And I guess
in living color.
In living color, and most of the guys I mentioned. So we'll play a little bit of each one, and you can relive fond memories of the past.
He's down in Miami now, right?
That's the last I heard. He was on KQV in Pittsburgh, and from there he went to a station down in Florida, is his home. And he went back there, and I saw an ad in the Trade Magazine, Broadcasting Trade Magazine, which he was looking for work about a month ago, and it said the Murray-go-round, and they always called it the Murray-go-round, mm-hmm. And he always had a stack. He was a stand-up comedian, nightclub stand-up comedian, burlesque. And they had a talk about toning a guy down to go on the radio.
Yeah.
This guy couldn't do anything until the engineer stripped.
That's why they had the fire out there, I
yes.
guess.
Hey, will you please tell me, give me an idea, what do your top jocks make, like Robbie Bobby Sherwood and Jimmy Reed make? Can you tell me, approximately?
Oh, boy.
Without getting specific, how about this market? What does a good rock jock make in the 14th largest market in the U.S.?
It's very, very difficult to say because each individual makes his own deal. There's a base that you start from, and each individual, of course, makes his own the top. There's no top on it, but there's a bottom on it. And I would say probably the average rock and roll disc jockey, there's probably one out there listening saying, this guy's out of his tree, man. I'm going into somebody and get a raise tomorrow. But I would assume they're somewhere on a base salary of anywhere from 12, 14, 16, 18,000 a year as a base.
I hope King Michael's listening now. He works midnight to 6, and he can call us and let us know if that's true.
Yeah, I know Mike, too.
Yeah.
Sam Sherwood, what are you doing now? I didn't catch it.
There's another commercial lead-in. Hit it.
W-A-Y-L, right?
Thank God my brother called.
Yes.
Yes, W-A-Y-L. I'm Vice President and General Manager of a broadcast organization called Entertainment Communications, which W-A-Y-L is one of the entities in that corporation.
Then you know my buddy Larry Roberts.
Indeed so. Very, very sharp young individual, which these are the type of guys that really turn on broadcasting. He's one of the most alert young guys in broadcasting.
He is. I went to school with him last year. He's a first-class guy.
Yeah, no question about it.
Hey, thank you for the call. Couple lines available, 698-5566. What's the format of WAYO?
Beautiful, beautiful music playing at this very moment.
At this very moment. Music to go to sleep on.
Did you see how I got that mellow?
That was immediately, yeah. Yes, the change.
World's most beautiful music. Now, this thing, when I had been in AM radio for since I began in broadcasting, mm-hmm. and knew nothing else. And one day, a fellow called me and said, Sam, have you ever thought of FM radio? And I said, oh, geez, come on. I said, you're kidding. I said, yeah, I do. And I, you know, take a cold shower and I have breakfast food and it's all over.
Careful now, we're on FM too.
Oh, that's right. But after I took time to research it and take a look at what was happening, I was amazed. And I took a look at markets like Philadelphia, markets like Boston, markets like Detroit, Phoenix, St. Louis. And FM was really happening, really coming on and being an influential commercial entity in the market against AM broadcasters. Mm-hmm. And at that point, I said, oh, man, I'd just been out to lunch. So got involved, put the thing together, and we start rolling, and it's been very kind to us.
Yeah. I know I've been surprised that Twin Cities doesn't seem to have a hard underground rock FM station, which is one of the things that's happening in FM, and getting rid of that opinion that all you're going to hear is either background music or classical, which is where a lot of people put FM formats, I guess. That's not true today.
KQ is pretty...
I suppose that could be why, yeah.
I don't... being away from the real pop music for, you know, a couple of years, it's like, again, you know, the new cars come on, you get a new set of wrenches. You got to keep with
That's
it
right.
every day, and I read the trades every day, but I don't understand them as well as I did.
Well, that's age, Sam. I hate to tell you this. That's just age.
Well, look, I know it. I'm realizing that, Marvin. That's why I'm going downhill. And...
we're propping him up with coffee.
Good night, folks.
It's 12 before the hour. Let's take a break. Hey, a couple lines available, 698-5566, if you'd like to talk about rock radio.
WLOL, where the Twin Cities talk.
Hello, Twin Cities and points elsewhere. I'm Bob Allard, the fellow behind the mic on WLOL's Lifeline. 5 hours of talk radio every day, Monday through Friday from 11 to 4. We talk about a lot of things, argue a bit, and enjoy some interesting guests now and then. I suggest you listen. Better yet, try to get aboard with your call and comments at 698-5566. That's Lifeline, daytime talk on WLOL, the spirit of 1330.
Hey, let's talk just a minute about Lake Street Bootery. And let me talk to some of you younger people. Anyone who's younger than I am is young. So if you're 30, well, if you're 35 or under, you're young. And sometimes when we talk about shoe stores that can fit hard-to-fit sizes, you immediately start thinking of granny shoes. And you say, well, yeah, they got the big shoes and the small shoes and the fat shoes and the thin shoes, but they all look like 1907 styles. Hey, not true. At Lake Street Bootery, 27th and East Lake Street, they've got a fantastic selection, not only in size, but in styles. You drop in there, you talk to Vince Camaro, and he can sell you shoes for wintertime, overshoes, boots that are as stylish as you can find any place in the Twin Cities. Plus, they'll fit you. I can almost guarantee that no matter what your foot problem, you can be fitted at Lake Street Bootery. Drop by, see Vince, and ask him how you can get your 13th pair of shoe free. That's kind of a good deal. Let's see, must be 13th pair of shoes, right? You wouldn't want just the 13th shoe. That'd be a little awkward. Yeah, kind of hobble. Okay, Lake Street Bootery, 27th East Lake Street. The place to go for sizes and styles hard to find. And where the magic word is, Marv Rickman Gatch.
WLOL weather.
Forecast. Cloud. Well, Sam, why don't you read the forecast? Is that allowed? Are you still paying your after dues?
No.
All right. Well, he's a guest. He's an expert. Therefore, it's all right if you're an expert.
Yes, I am an expert on the weather forecast.
Try not to panic or I crossed a word out there.
Where's that?
That means this morning now. This is morning. It's
cloudy
night.
This morning.
Right.
With a low of 28. Becoming partly cloudy Friday. You know, I'm starting to settle down now. I was nervous when I began. Can I do this one thing, Marv?
Please.
Hi, Mom.
Everyone's wildest dream, right?
Variable cloudiness, a little warmer Friday night and Saturday with a chance of a little snow Friday night. Hey, that's groovy.
Yeah, right.
High Friday, 40. You know, every person on the radio complains about the weather.
I guess
all the new guys come in town from Florida, and they all come in from Texas, and they all take the forecast and they start putting it down from the Twin Cities forecast and it's all downhill then. But they don't realize that they're talking to the natives here that love it.
Who?
I guess.
Where? Are you a native?
No.
No one's
are
a native here. No one's loving
we all
it.
Hit it.
I see.
Well, that lousy snow is going to be here. Let's see. High Saturday, 48. Some more lousy snow is going to be for the weekend. So forget it, folks.
Forget it, folks. You didn't want to know.
Eepity, eepity.
33 degrees and cloudy skies outside.
Talk of the Twin Cities.
Well, we certainly are. 698-5566. Good morning. You're on WLOL. My guest can hear you.
Hey, yeah, what you were talking about before is sort of a lead-in to my question. Are you familiar with KEEY?
Yes.
FM?
Yes.
Do you know why they changed their format about a year and a half ago?
It's every young broadcaster's prerogative to go their own separate route.
Now, why don't we explain what Key Stereo was and what Key Stereo is now?
Key Stereo was Bill Drake, which is Hit Parade 70 or 71, whichever particular year that you listened. Bill Drake puts the format together in Los Angeles and has stations syndicated around the country, and he puts it on stations that are automated, which means that they put on big machines and it runs automatically. It's not manned. And in many parts of the country, it's successful. Well, there were, I guess, probably management. I don't know. I'm just assuming that they felt that they had reached a saturation point with it, maybe, and decided to change. And they changed it to a format that is being done in New York right now, a programmer that's in New York. And why they changed, I don't know.
Isn't it usually got something to do with profit?
Sometimes, not...
Not always?
No, not always.
Well, I thought I understood that they were number two, you know, when they were at their peak. I think AYL was number one.
You're talking about FM,
yeah,
perhaps.
Yeah, just FM stereo. And then KEY was number two. And I was wondering why they changed when... because I know they were very popular. I used to listen to them all the time, and I know they were in a lot of the stores, you know, on their stereos and that.
Who do you listen to now?
Well, I sort of listen to...
Notice the begging in his voice, the pleading.
WWTC I like.
Would you hang that phone?
Yeah, right. I'm sorry we have to go now. That's okay. We'll let him talk. I figure that Ray Osi, who manages WLOL-FM, has just slit both wrists in his throat, so it doesn't matter anyway.
No, but I really enjoy your station, too, you know, for talking, because I think it is, you know, one of the most interesting stations around.
See, now I got my brother to call. We all had our relatives on. It's my turn now.
Because you have some competition now, you know.
I think that one thing maybe that happens today, and Sam, maybe you have some thoughts on this, I think people push buttons a little faster today or listen to different kinds of stations at different times for different reasons. I remember when rock first came in, people listened to it, never changed, but I don't know if that's true anymore.
I think the younger audience is more fickle than the adult audience. The adult audience is going to zero in on something, and they're going to be more satisfied with it longer, and they'll hang with it longer. Still, the young audience is still a moving audience, and it's an active audience, and they want something. If it isn't happening now, man, they're going to go with something where it's at. And pop music programmers and the pop station programmers have to be with it every single minute of every single day, 24 hours a day, and if they aren't, they're losing out. This is a nightmare situation. You're constantly on the in the fire and constantly thinking of new ideas, and your family becomes secondary, and they start to get hacked, and all of a sudden you find that, you know, you wake up someday and you come up with the greatest idea in the world, and you've got nobody in the house to tell it to. They're all gone.
Yeah, right. My goodness, wonder how long they've been gone.
Yeah.
I remember last Christmas they were around.
Yeah.
Hey, thanks for the call. Good morning. You're on WLOL. My guest can hear you.
Yeah, Sam, I'd like to congratulate you on your success at WEYL. I read your letters there in Billboard. Seen them there.
Thank you.
What did you do?
I read them in Billboard, the letters to the editor.
Oh, yes. I made a mistake, a terrible mistake. You see, every time you come up and say something, FM broadcasters are very much on the defensive.
I think you mentioned something about being number five or something.
Well, we were... there was a survey done of FM stations across the country, and the trade magazine that did the survey was kind enough to include WAYL among one of the leading FM stations in the country. So I just stated a couple of figures, and I neglected to state the share of audience that translated that quarter-hour average into a share of the market. And I neglected to say that, and every FM broadcaster in the world came down on me from WBBM-FM in Chicago to New York and say, "You dummy, we got more than you." And, and it's they're always on the defensive, and they come on like gangbusters.
Yeah, I saw your letter there, taking back a little bit of what you said there.
Yeah.
The main reason I called is, were you at KDOBB when the Monkees came in town?
Yes.
I heard that you got quite upset when you were driving your car.
Well... No, I was in the room when they were doing me in. We had a thing called Secret City. The Monkees came into town, and everybody was wondering where they were staying. And we set up a studio in the Cap Towers where they were staying, and we called it Secret City. And we had the microphones and the turntables and the console, everything up there. And Peter Tork and Davey, they were all in there doing a stint on the radio.
Good old what's his name? I remember
good,
him. Well.
Good friend of mine, Huzitz. He was on the air, and he took when the record was playing. He said, "Who is your biggest sponsor on the air?" I said, "Well, you know, I don't. What do you mean biggest sponsor?" He said, "Who spends the most money in advertising on your radio station?" I made the mistake and told him.
Mm.
He came on the air, and he called that sponsor everything from... I wouldn't mention it here. It went downhill.
Right.
And, it was a very embarrassing situation.
The paper said that, I don't know if they must have their own story, they said you were driving your car at the time when they offered $80,000 to anybody that could name the Secret City.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
You hit your hand on the top of the car or something and dislocated.
No, I almost went up the pole.
Sounds like something that a Sam Sherwood would send out in a press release.
But we've had wilder promotions, the largest Christmas cookie in the world, which had me fired three times.
I remember, I think, something about Jimmy Reed when he worked there. Was he sitting on a flagpole at one time?
Oh, yeah, and somebody lit the flagpole on fire at night while he was sleeping. And there was a guy came through with a big semi-load of elephants. And Jimmy Reed had an elephant horn down there. And the guy just happened to come through town with the elephants. And I said, "Hey, we'll really surprise Jimmy." We'll get the elephants, parade them down the street. He always blows the elephant horn. You'll see the elephants, and he'll go right out of his tree. So we got all the elephants down there, and we had signs. We sold it to a milk company that just came out with a chocolate milk, and we had Bigger Than Elephants, KDWB, and such milk. I can't even remember what the heck it was. We had five elephants parading down past the Fauché Tower, and they all decided to go down the garage underneath the Fauché Tower. They got nervous because the wind was blowing the signs on the side of them. And Jimmy Reed saw the elephants down the street, and he thought he was going out of his mind. And we paraded the elephants around the block and back into the truck, but, oh, that was a bear cat trying to catch those babies down in the garage.
Hey, thanks for the call. That's one of the fun things about rock radio was that as there got to be competition, they tried to outdo each other with people staying up on top of flagpoles or a guessing contest or people staying underwater or being buried alive or whatever.
Oh, yeah, I did broke the world's record in marathon bowling.
Marathon bowling.
Yeah, out here at Stadium Bowl.
I wondered about that thumb. I noticed when you walked in it was still
yes, it's a
abnormal.
Perpetual hitchhike with me.
Yeah. How long is the world's record for marathon bowling?
Well, let's see. A fella in Texas had it. The record's been broken many times since. But it was, we started Friday night. We wrapped her up Sunday night. Continuous bowling. It was like, I don't know how many thousands of pins. And it was just a murder. I worked out for it religiously and soaked my hands in brine and got them tough mm-hmm. and everything and stayed awake and did the oxygen routine and got all in shape for it. Hadn't I been in shape, it would have been a disaster.
Yeah. I know we had various people various times who would try to stay up for usually raising money for charity. And they would tell some very strange stories about the things they could remember afterwards, how the mind takes flight
after
X number of hours without sleep.
You go right to pieces.
Yeah.
We did it for cancer, to raise money for cancer. And after they said, we covered the world's record by an hour, and after it was over, I just collapsed and went into the hospital for a day, and I could have taken a bowling ball and thrown it overhand. I really could have.
Only you wouldn't have let go. You would have probably gone right along with it and knocked the pins down.
I had a right arm that was terrific.
We have a minute past the hour of 1 o'clock. This is Open Line on WLOL AM and FM, Minneapolis, St. Paul. A couple lines available, 698-5566. After the news, back with my guest, Sam Sherwood, Terry DeWayne, and Rick Mann, and Ron Fisher. And who's left? Stu? Stu Saunders? No. Okay, well, we're down to four here on Open Line.
The talk of the Twin Cities.
Why does it end up at the dead letter office? Because the address is wrong or illegible, and no return address inside or out. Tomorrow, always include your return address. Then if we can't deliver your mail, we can at least send it back. And always include zip code. Then we're sure to deliver it to the right city and post office the fastest way. Return address and zip code. They could put the dead letter office out of business.
The preceding message was brought to you by the United States Postal Service.
Bill Maher, Mutual News, New York.
This is your network for news. The Mutual Broadcasting System.
And next up, WLOL Twin Cities Weather Talk with a forecast calling for cloudy skies the rest of the morning. Becoming partly cloudy today with little temperature change. Variable cloudiness a little warmer tonight and tomorrow with a chance of a little snow late tonight. Low this morning, 28 degrees. High today, 40. Low tonight, 32. The high on Saturday, all the way up to 48 degrees. Currently in the metropolitan Twin Cities area, winds out of the west-northwest at 15 miles per hour. Humidity 78%. The barometric pressure falling slowly from 29.89. We've got cloudy skies with very light snow falling, and the WLOL Twin Cities temperature reading remains 33 degrees. And now, just before much more music and Marvin Gatch, I'm Ron Fisher. Next news on WLOL at 2 o'clock.
The opinions expressed are not necessarily those of WLOL, its management, or sponsors.
Call WLOL Open Line, 698-5566.
And now, from Minneapolis, St. Paul,
WLOL,
the talk of the Twin Cities, continues with Open Line.
Why can't you be true? I'm blowing all out of my hood.
Cast, Chuck Berry. I'm Marv Gatch. Sammy Sherwood's here. This is Open Line. We're taking a look at the days of rock and roll radio, and sometime this hour we'll be playing little excerpts from some. What were the guys at KDWB called? The Men of Music, or any generic name?
The Swinging Gentlemen.
The Swinging Gentlemen.
Gee, that's catchy, isn't it?
Has a real up-to-date ring about it.
Yeah, was... That
at least
was
you didn't call them the gay young men of KDWB, which
course,
some stations used to.
Then they graduated into the good guys.
The good guys. That was always big.
Well, you know where that originated from, and this, so help me, is it originated out of a labor dispute in Los Angeles. And KFWB was in this labor dispute, and management had... drawn the line down the middle, who were management folk and who were part of the shop, and it was the good guys and the bad guys.
Is
and a
right?
record company put out, because KFWB was so powerful in Los Angeles then, they were breaking records and instigating records for, they were instigating a whole music feeling for the whole country, and they were so powerful. And a record company put out bumper stickers saying, I'm one of them KFWB good guys. And then from there, it went to desk paperweights,
right.
And went from one thing to another. Then Don French, who is has a brilliant, fertile mind, put together a series of public safety messages by 5.5-year-old Diane. And these were little... I think there's some on the air check tapes that that I brought, this little gal who gives safety messages and said, that's... and drive like one of them KFWB good guys. And that's where good guys became. Then we became the good guys, and then, you know...
At least one station in every market was the good guys.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah,
everybody... That Crow Collier was a type of a chain that everybody was involved. Every disc jockey was involved in the whole organization, because every 3 months, the entire chain got together and met and exchanged ideas and decided on one course to
wow.
take. And... how it worked, the program director would say, okay, every disc jockey, come up with your best fun idea, your best major promotion idea, and your best outside promotion idea.
Mm-hmm.
And an outside promotion was something that would happen outside the station. A major promotion was a contest on the air, and a fun promotion was something like KDWB feeds your dog, and then we'd put whistles on the air, and you put your dog food by the radio, and the dog would come by the radio,
right.
And you'd feed them. You know, that routine. So... So we would accumulate all these ideas, and the program director would hop aboard a plane, and we would head for Los Angeles, and we would exchange ideas with the other Crow Collier stations and come up with one common idea and one common approach, and we would come back to our stations and put it in force and go. And all stations would hit with the same contest, the same idea, the same day, and have the same promos, and so nobody could steal the ideas, because it got to
yeah.
be...
You hit every market.
Well, KFWB in Los Angeles would get a little ahead of KE and KD, and they used to start monitoring the station and then turn around and come at us with our own ideas in the other markets. So it was a very, very unique setup. It was just beautiful.
Does I hear you saying was. Does Coles Collier no longer own KDWB?
No, it's owned by a corporation called Valjon Incorporated. They bought it from Crow Collier.
Okay. We have, what, we have 13 past the hour. Let's take some phone calls, and then we'll play those air checks. Good morning. You're on WLOL. My guest can hear you.
Yeah, Marv, how are you?
Good, good.
Good. Mr. Sherwood there?
Right here.
Sam?
Yes.
Who was the old Scotchman?
Who was the old Scotchman?
Yeah.
Oh, boy. The old Scotchman.
You just mentioned his name all about 45 minutes ago.
The old Scotchman. You've got me.
Gordon McClendon.
Oh, Gordon McClendon, yes, of course.
He never was in this market.
No.
You're talking about promotions. That's all he used to do is promotions.
Oh, Gordon had, well, still does. He has a brilliant promotional mind.
Yeah, he used to take his airplane, you know, and solo it himself, you know.
Oh, he originally began in motion picture theaters, didn't he?
And then he owned KLIT in Houston and KLIF in Dallas. He had another one, I guess, in Oklahoma City. He used to take his plane up, you know, and fly for 2,000-3,000 hours at a time, you know.
Amazing man.
Was he the guy that invented, was there an inventor of rock radio as we
yeah,
know
Todd
it?
Yeah, Todd Storrs, really.
Probably Storrs.
The late Todd Storrs. At the time, a very young vibrant executive that
just stuff at the time too.
Pardon?
Gordon was young in himself at the time.
Oh yeah, but Todd Storrs was really the originator of rock and roll radio.
Yeah.
And when he put together nobody could conceive the idea that who could have the guts to put 40 records together, play them over and over and over again, and have their call letters sung in unison by a group of singers. That would never work.
Right.
No how.
Yeah.
And it swept the country so fast.
You know, I imagine the fact that network radio happened to be dying or starting to die at the same time helped.
Yeah.
Although it would have been fun to see if it would have gone in the 30s. It would have been. I wonder if it would have gone in the 30s against a strong network radio.
Boy, that it would be an interesting test. I don't know.